Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Jim Breyer, the King. Today I'm going to talk about LeBron James and much more. I want to get to some things, though, before we get started today. First of all, you can follow us on social media at Sports Kingdom TV. You can also find us on Facebook now, new Facebook page. And check us out on Instagram, TikTok. You can now find us on TikTok at Sports Kingdom TV. We'll probably have some countdown videos or ranking something different, new, added to Sports Kingdom. We now have TikTok. Also going to try and revamp the site, try and persuade you, the viewers, more and more viewers, fans to sportskimtv.com. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep the same URL for long. I never quite liked the URL, to be honest with you, but I will keep you informed. I will try and make or enhance your Sports Kingdom experience, whether it's here on Blog Talk Radio today or sportskimtv.com. I'm thinking we'll not only try to persuade you, but get you into, who knows, if you're interested. I'd love to have you, if you're just listening, to possibly contribute. I'm going to try and feature news content for the first time, try and stay up with the latest news, try to do as much as I can here at Sports Kim as I'm dedicated to making this really succeed. So again, LeBron James, we're going to get to and much more later on, but first wanted to just talk about some of the latest happenings from last night. I had watched The Ultimate Fighter went down, and really, really enjoyed the confrontation between Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor to start off right away, way to market those two and introduce some new fighters or some up-and-coming fighters who are trying to make a comeback in the UFC. We saw some fighters with experience try and make their mark in front of Dana White again. Winning a fight, then quickly, in a way to get someone's attention, like me, when you lean over the cage to Dana White and say, "I'm essentially coming for this opportunity at the UFC again. I'm aiming towards that UFC contract again." So, like I said, some newbies and I guess you could say wannabes that want to make their mark again and stand out from the newbies and everyone else. Conor McGregor looks so Hollywood these days. He did get sidelined for 2 years, but still, what has been going on with Conor McGregor? Conor, now, he's more, well, other than the Hollywood look, he's more bulkier. He's more bulkier, and, would I say he's in the shape he was during his prime? Definitely not, and Michael Chandler went on to say that he'll defeat Conor McGregor in 2 rounds via knockout. This is definitely one of the more interesting Ultimate Fighters in recent memory. I mean, there's some good classic ones on UFC Fight Pass, most particularly, but with this one, it definitely has a strong vibe. You have Michael Chandler, who comes from Bellator, huge Bellator fan before, still watch Bellator from time to time on Showtime, but Michael Chandler was arguably the face of that brand for a while, and I remember Pat Curran, we had Rick Hahn on who faced Michael Chandler. Go check out that interview here on Sports Kingdom. Pat Curran. Bjorn Rebney was the commissioner at the time. I was trying to get him on the show before, but you had Rebney. You even had Bader. Ryan Bader had showed up at UFC Ultimate Fighter last night. I guess Michael Chandler has ties with him going back to some of their Bellator days and just being in the cage and trying to hone their crafts like regular MMA fighters. Brian Bader, season 2011, had won UFC Ultimate Fighter, and he's obviously more of a heavyweight than Michael Chandler is. Conor, he's fought, I believe, welterweight and lightweight and welterweight. These two definitely have. Say what you want about their weight class. They have a contrast in style and it both could definitely, no matter what weight class, can fight light. I believe lightweight, welterweight, middleweight. I think. Uh, I think whoever it is, whether it's Bjorn Rebney or Dana White, they're due what of what they're asked, and so far they're making this reality show much more of a hit than if you want to say Vanderpump Rules. You can call in and talk about. I mean, if you're a reality show fan, want to talk? Sure, you can call and talk talk for a brief moment of time. But if you want to call and talk UFC Ultimate Fighter and Sports Reality Series, then feel free to call in and talk for however long necessary. So the number is 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. Spread the word about Sports Kingdom. Yesterday we had, I didn't post yesterday's show on YouTube yet, but no, we did get some good engagements to start off yesterday's show. I'd say we averaged about 10 listeners. That's a good start, even when you include live listens. You know, on YouTube, sometimes we average 10 viewers, or sometimes we average way more than that. So, nonetheless, keep the word going about Sports Kingdom. Spread it and talk about what I'm discussing on air today involving UFC Ultimate Fighter, LeBron James, in the Facebook comment section on Blog Talk Radio or wherever you may be listening, whether it's Twitter. I'll hope to get this link on SportsKingdomTV.com. Another platform. So, we are about, I guess, 15 minutes in now. I'm going to go eat me some lunch after this, but want to get into first more of UFC Ultimate Fighter. It aired at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time last night. A little late, but ESPN filled in a timely slot for a show such as the Ultimate Fighter. Conor McGregor, as I said, had been sidelined for two years, and that was all due to sustaining an injury from Dustin Poirier, who's now set to, according to sources, face Justin Gaethje at UFC 291. Don't know where as of yet, but that's the headline main event for UFC 291, as far as I know. Want to give a quick shout out to MMA Minute. I checked out his show. I think really good shows. Just thinking, it'd been nice if I had inquired for him, MMA Minute, to come on the show today, but I guess I'll keep this ship rolling. Poirier and Gaethje. Gaethje, I thought, was going to lose his last bout and not come to this point in time where he's now headlining UFC 291 against Dustin Poirier. No, it's criticized that Gaethje was going to have a little tough go in terms of his leg kick rate, his leg kick conversion rate, and you know, some people assume that, well, he was going to work more on other facets of his style, but he really believed in his ability to the last bout convert as many leg kicks as he did and go on to now headline UFC 291 against Dustin Poirier, who, like I said, has faced Conor McGregor. He's had a spare amount of opportunities in his past, and I'd say even though he's a decent fighter, he's been in the UFC for a while. He's went up against some great fighters such as Conor McGregor, now Justin Gaethje, and has headlined certain events. He is much different than Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler having spectacular fight of the year. I think if I flash back in my mind, it was Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje, they, regardless of who it was, Michael Chandler put on a callous fight at some point that has now allowed this opportunity against Conor McGregor. I think Conor McGregor had said at one point to Michael Chandler last night that he's going to give him a proper send-off or something in a punchline of his own sponsor, proper number 12. I thought that was very interesting. You know, I think Connor is interesting, but is he as interesting as he used to be? I don't think so anymore. I mean, he may draw a good box office still for Connor and Michael Chandler, but I think we're at the point now, and right now you can see it for yourselves, I believe, that Conor McGregor is just, I know we're only in episode one, but for goodness sake, I think it's been exposed already that, no, I think Conor, even though he loves the sport of UFC so much, he can't take but believe that he doesn't match up to the level of some of the top lighterweights in his division or divisions anymore. And he's just more of a fighting showman at this point. He's not, I believe, equipped as good as Michael Chandler at this stage in his career. And I think, you know, leg injury, age-wise, and I thought Georges St-Pierre, despite the fact that he did not eventually, for example, come back after his last fight and put on a streak for UFC fans, as I believe some UFC fans had hoped, I still think Conor McGregor, I still think Conor McGregor is at that point now that seems to struggle a bit, almost like Georges St-Pierre at this point. I think it's very well likely, if you're asking me right now, who's going to win, Michael Chandler versus Conor McGregor? I'm going with Michael Chandler over Conor McGregor. And I do believe that Michael Chandler is right. He's going to knock out Conor McGregor in round two. This is expected to happen August, this fight, so should be a good one. Last UFC fight I watched was Aljamain Sterling and Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo had put on his, I think he still put on one of his best performances. I'd argue, you know, Henry Cejudo, it's slightly up, believe it or not, after Aljamain Sterling calling Cejudo a dork and a much floundering Olympian. I still would maybe slightly put, at this juncture, Cejudo slightly up there with John McGregor in terms of I wouldn't say popular fighters, but I would say guys well into her 30s, but again, I watched Sterling, and he retained over Cejudo next to Sean O'Malley. That should be really good. I was hoping to get out to I got to save my money, too, for UFC. But, you know, it's amazing. UFC is 79 dollars these days, and so talk about your getting your money's worth for a fight like Conor McGregor or Aljamain Sterling. Sterling, I think, is definitely someone fans should talk about more. I think he's one of the more steady fighters in the UFC. So, again, the Ultimate Fighter happened last night, and thought I thought very highly of it. I haven't really tuned into many Ultimate Fighters like this in recent memory, and no, if I had a name, maybe some of the fighters that stood out to me, Gutierrez, you know, comes from, I believe, a humble background. Maybe he stirs things up in the cage when we see him. Another thing that stood out was the whole house, for the fighters, they got a taste of reality, if you want to say, the reality of what a decent house that looked. That was a very, very nice house, I thought. And now, you know, certain personalities that are gonna certainly show. Now we did see Nava. Seems very, very poised and calm for himself to possibly make a mark. There's the Ultimate Fighter. There's some of the stuff you see exclusively on ESPN Plus. They had some pandemic series on ESPN Plus featuring Dana White and some new crop rookies, and so, you know, time to time UFC goes to mostly Las Vegas. I like to get out to there, and you have the UFC Apex for the pandemic, of course, and other material, and then you get the world. You get the whole world to see, whether it's Brazil, Chile, New Jersey, California Love, you name it. I definitely enjoyed the Ultimate Fighter more in the production of WWE Tough Enough. And you're like wondering, oh, he's really going there, is he? Yeah, I mean, I happen to follow wrestling from time to time. Not as a big fan as I used to be now, but when I do follow it from time to time, I will lean forward with a passionate, thoughtful mind. I think the wrestling industry has really gone downhill for quite some time now, and needs to come out swinging, unlike Tough Enough. I think Tough Enough has not been totally the answer for WWE. What hasn't really been the answer, and this is something I just have wanted to touch on before we get to LeBron James and much more, going to give you the latest scoop that The Athletic reported today on LeBron James and his retirement. Will he go elsewhere? What will happen? I'll have all that and much more for you. But on the topic of AEW wrestling, and I'm not surprised because I saw the attendance in one of our most other recent venues for ROH, and they did not produce or sell much attendance. They did not sell much attendance. If I could put a photo up, I would right now. Maybe on YouTube, you can see it later if I decide to insert the photo. But yeah, a photo of Samoa Joe involved in a background of hardly any fans. And when I saw, I said right away, and I tweeted out to Conan, who has been very vocal about AEW as of late, that I know he's more vocal than Eric Bischoff, but I said that this reminded me again of TNA Bound for Glory. Now, you got to understand, at the time WCW was still around, there was hardly any social media, the lack of fan attendance and presence wasn't to be known that WCW was eventually struggling, even though house show interest dropped and I mean, of course I wasn't around when WCW was pretty little, but I was not too aware of WCW at the time, and you know, watching it back though now, I seem to think that I mean, there's always the talk of what happened to WCW, and I'd say the death of WCW happened plain and simple. It needed just extra life to rebuild and showcase new talent. You say what you want about house show interest or some of WCW's attendance compared to TNA now, AEW, you know, it was still, despite being down in ratings, was precipice the word? They were still on the cusp of great things. You had this television deal that TNA eventually lost, and you know, there were still some good majority of fans attending shows. Was there much Was there much appeal to WCW and Hulk Hogan left, Bret Hart left, Scott Hall left. To a degree, but no. WCW, they did have some faces like Goldberg. Say what you want about Goldberg, but you know, on the 1997 episode of WCW, you know, he electrified the crowd extremely. It was like, I you know, people want to talk so much about The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, but man, does anyone remember that night Goldberg? Watching back, Spear, Hulk Hogan, and the crowd just absolutely went nuts. I mean, there's some, WCW had some of their good moments, mostly TV wise, with Eric Bischoff, the NWO, Ric Flair turning into the Nature Boy we know now, and a lackadaisical Horseman. People will talk about the Horseman. I mean, no offense to the Horseman. I like the Horseman. I always liked the Horseman, but did they tend to draw? And, you know, it's like. When the TNA originals had set out to say they understood the business more than certain other veterans, in the case of WCW had Eric Bischoff, the NWO, or the Horsemen. So the Horsemen, they, you know, had sort of built some of the foundation at WCW, NWA, WCW, but, and when you include some like Sting, but, you know, eventually when Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage came in. The powers that be. You know, things were really, really heated up. I was a big fan of the time when the NWO first had invaded in outdoors. I used to love those outdoor shows of WCW. Probably go back and watch it. But no, just taking down, like for example, Kevin Nash, taking down now WWE Hall of Famer Rey Mysterio, plus for Rey Mysterio's heart. But no, I think when that happened, Kevin Nash and Rey Mysterio, I mean, that sort of first began the uprise of whatever you want to say, WCW or NWO. Now, if you think about it, what sold more? The NWO shirt or the WCW shirt? See, this is what I mean. I believe, you know, there's an argument to be made. There's a possible argument to be made that whoever was in marketing, WCW marketing, seemed to fail in the WCW name really draw more than, say, the NWO. But I don't want to get too far ahead in our conversation with WCW. I'd originally asked or said what truly led to the demise of WCW, and you know, you could say there's various factors. I mean, the one thing that just stood out in my mind was Scott Hall coming down to the ring with alcohol. I mean, the wrestling should, even though entertainment is key, should always come first, no matter if it's a promo or wrestling match. The wrestling should, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's entertaining. Scott Hall came down with alcohol. I mean, at first you may think, oh, you know, Scott, you know, he's just drinking, but, you know, it did, I think, eventually lead to less of a in-ring match scarcity and or scarcity and lack thereof and you know, also damage Scott Hall. I mean, even though he got sober later on, you know, it's deadly to some what like some indie wrestling promoters can think of someone like someone who's drunk and doesn't show up to the booked live event. Situation, like I said, Scott Hall eventually battled and survived from, but you talk about saying NWO for life. Man, that was so cool. I mean, even though there are some bad things, bad moments in WCW, there's definitely some good moments that I don't think many people talk about. Some people try to talk about more about the demise of WCW. I say, you know, there's certainly some good moments with the NWO, first of all, and secondly, you know, wrestling just being hip, cool. It was a fascinating time as compared to now with some wrestlers thinking, you know, it's just all about the next maneuver, as Brock Lesnar would say. It's more about your next move rather than, even though Brock Lesnar said verbatim next move, I think what he really meant was next maneuver. You know, contradictory speaking, or contradictory forecast. It's about the next move. It's about the next move, and I mean maneuver, but what you're gonna do in terms of your next promo or highlight reel, what's gonna draw essentially, And so not only did the NWO draw, but stood out, began pay-per-view. It certainly put some other guys on the map when you include DDP, Sting, MJF recently said that, and this resonated with me, highly resonated with me, but MJF of AEW recently said that if he were to retire today, he would have a Hall of Fame career. And it's true. And it's true. I mean, I think there's just many talent. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. You know, there's many talent that walked the doors of WWE and give it more of a professional landscape feel. But, I think part of the reason why I'm not so fascinated with WWE these days is because you see more of these other promotions like WCW or TNA or AEW for this matter, and they will really most likely, despite the global gap, you know, of course, WWE is more of a global presence than AEW, that some stars like MJF have, like Cody too, like they became stars overnight in AEW. They really did. I'll say, you know, again, Cody, in my opinion, got over the one and only time he faced his brother Dustin and put on a classic AEW Double or Nothing 2019. And then you fast forward to now, MJF is the champ and he's really risen above certain rankings at this point for someone only his age and experience in the wrestling business. You may argue, well, he hasn't been in WWE just yet, but and you know, there's stars like Randy Orton or John Cena will say, you know, you haven't paid your dues yet if you haven't been to WWE or this is the professional big leagues and such. I mean, I truly believe it. When MJF says that he has had a Hall of Fame career, in this day and age, social media and stuff, when you make your presence known, I mean, you can certainly have a big impact. But what I necessarily say, MJF has had a bigger impact, like Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage. Certainly not. But and Hulk Hogan recently said that Roman Reigns, for one, has kept the art form alive. If I had to recall what he's essentially saying, he was saying that Roman Reigns has kept the original art form of wrestling going, just like how stars like The Rock got over back in the 90s, Hulk Hogan. Roman Reigns is up on that list. when I scroll through some rankings every here and there, I'll see Roman Reigns stick out as arguably one of the top 10 wrestlers, top 15 wrestlers in WWE history. Where I say is he as talented as just all around great talent from AWA to some of the other territories and then WCW? Not necessarily. I mean, he's definitely climbed over some, but even when you look at WCW, but maybe people are forgetting that Roman Reigns' career is not over yet. I think maybe even with MJF, until your career is over, you can only say for certain, legitimately, if you're amongst the best. I think most wrestlers in the industry don't strive to make the Hall of Fame, but they strive to be the best. So, I always think there's some wise words to be said from MJF and Paul Heyman. I mean, I think there's a reason why Paul Heyman is Roman Reigns' mouthpiece. I just think, of course, Paul is a wise mind, and I think happens to be more of a wiser mind than per Roman Reigns, even though Roman Reigns. I mean, if I think about it, someone recently said that, I think it was Kurt Angle, that Roman Reigns would have a career extending to 5 more years and then going off to Hollywood. I mean, if that's true, I kind of think Roman, and this is just my opinion, I didn't see, in fact, that's just telling, I didn't see, in fact, his recent movie with The Rock, but if you ask me, I don't think he's going to be cut out to be as good of a Hollywood actor than a Batista or Rock. I don't know. The stamp hasn't been made yet approved of Roman Reigns, I'm certain, by other fans. I feel the journey is always endless for some of these wrestlers. Some others happen to either be limited or limit themselves. I mean, the perfect example of that is Seth Rollins right now. I think he could be given out so much more in his promos and matches. I really do. I mean, I think Seth's that talented that WWE ought to make ends meet with this new title reign of Seth Rollins. Give him some more real good competition. I was thinking just before we went on air, that when Bryan Danielson left the WWE, it was a hard pill. I think it was a hard pill to swallow for mostly some of the talent. Some of the wrestlers, not for upper management, obviously, but I think Bryan Danielson has proved me wrong many times in regards to him being possibly the best wrestler in his generation. for recent generations, I think I think I think he's just extremely talented. I think he has proved me wrong in regards to. I mean, I have always had no doubt. Bryan Danielson is more of, that may help Roman Reigns' cause in the near future. Roman Reigns may happen to be a better actor than he is a wrestler, in my opinion. Whereas Bryan Danielson, he is more of a better wrestler and can just be so versatile, can be a good heel, can be a good baby face, and then this is where I was getting at. Compared to AJ Styles, I mean, he has proved me wrong in terms of, we're talking about AJ Styles. And he came over to AEW, essentially, to face some guys like Kenny Omega. He just really stands out with probably the biggest heart in all professional wrestling. And that's what I like about any wrestler. I think definitely got to like about any story you see, like the Cinderella story with Russell Crowe and Renee Zellweger. And Rocky, I mean, you just recall the time Rocky was, or I recall the time Rocky was on the beach and his wife has played roles in all the Rockies and going all the way back to Saturday Night Fever. That moment that stands out in my mind of Rocky and his wife correlates with me to just how much I think Bryan Danielson is a extremely talented wrestler. Even saw a tweet, Bryan Danielson, I wouldn't say putting over Will Yuta, but Will Yuta, just really benefiting out of the Blackpool Combat Club, William Regal, and establishing himself independently as a worthy wrestler on the AEW roster. So we got to AEW, or there was AEW Double or Nothing in Las Vegas Sunday night. And I just happened to watch. I did not, however, catch the lack of attendance yet again until I saw it on social media recently. I enjoyed the event. Aside from imagining so much about what the attendance could possibly look like. What highlights really stood out were Wardlow. And I'm hoping, maybe we can get Wardlow on the show here. Really big fan of Wardlow from an athletic standpoint. I said on Twitter to Dana White that Wardlow should be in MMA. He's in the wrong sport of professional wrestling. I think for someone like Wardlow, he's just not, I feel, going to ever get his. I mean, maybe you'd argue, maybe he gets his just due against Goldberg. It's been reported Goldberg may face Wardlow at All in London, but something tells me, Wardlow, he's been fighting on the mid-card for quite a while now. I'd like to see him go up against MJF next. I think he's ready, poison ready, but I just don't think Tony Khan is going to pull the trigger necessarily on Wardlow being a ultra-good talent to the company. I think maybe if Wardlow goes away for a while, takes advantage of how good he is athletically and joins MMA and then the UFC, I think chances are he could elevate his stock and just like Brock Lesnar choose to possibly explore any avenue he may decide upon, whether it's MMA or wrestling. I think nonetheless he's gonna make out well for himself. He's gonna make money. He's gonna generate money. But I just think if I'm thinking Wardlow, this guy is like. This guy's market value is like twice the size of certain real estate around my area. I think he can be a very valuable talent to wherever he goes. But really enjoyed seeing Wardlow. He hit a spectacular Swanton Bomb from the heavens and then was seen photographed with Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy. Two legends, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. They recently had the firm deletion, and according to sources, Jeff Hardy injured himself again, and he's just what else does he have? But wrestling, really, for some, it's just do or die with wrestling. In the case of Jeff Hardy, he's now stripped of his license, and maybe dealing with personal stuff right now that leads him to just want to wrestle, and so. Injury by Jeff Hardy, hopefully he is okay, of course. Every time we're just saying, God, Jeff, will you just be okay? But we saw the firm deletion, and Matt Hardy, I think he's come to a point in his career he's like, back to his old ways, not as rocking the Hurricane such as Jeff Hardy and others are right now. I don't know what AEW has done to him. To be honest, I don't think it's AEW that has killed off Matt Hardy, but WWE. When Matt Hardy came to WWE, I think he had really high hopes of his character, broken Matt Hardy character, and now he's just I think he's just riding the wave in AEW, but and trying to help out younger talent, of course. But I don't want to spend too much more time on wrestling. No, guys want to get into LeBron James soon. But just want to add my wrapping thoughts on AEW. They have Collision coming up. I think that's going to be exciting, more exciting than Rampage and Dynamite since it's on TNT. And I think fans will definitely tune in Saturday night just to see certain stars. And then you got All In. I think All In could be, based on the build it gets, Tony Khan is criticized booking, needs to flourish or else, I said before, we had Jeff Jarrett on the show before. He needs to step right in. I'll give it a chance. I think many fans and many people in the back will give Tony Khan a chance to for many to see him through, see his vision, and just see if, you know, All In does happen to pan out. Because don't forget, even though it's going to be a nice crowd, a nice stadium, it still needs to come away strong. I don't think I'm going to hold back by saying this is going to be a make or break event. Because if it doesn't get a good crowd reaction, then obviously I think it's back to building decent sized audiences and traveling across the world. As you tell me, you can follow me on Twitter at JBriarSK. Give me your thoughts on the whole spiel in AEW. They need to really come away, and especially for the industry. The industry really needs, I think a lot of veterans have jumped ship over to AEW because I don't think they right now see, and there's certainly some good talent, but they don't see necessarily the impact it shall have when hopefully AEW arrives in London and kicks ass. Biggest fan of TNA. I'll just wrap up by saying that TNA I don't really want to get into it. I was much of a fan, to put it bluntly, and have so much hardship this day over coping over TNA. I was just really saw my wish I was still around. I'm led to believe, you know, maybe Impact will bring back Destination X, Six Side Ring, and you know, bring back some good memories and fans. But for one night, one day. But I'm also led to believe we could see TNA on the WWE Network, maybe a 1 hour show per week. That'd be something nice. I just think, as I said before in the beginning of this whole wrestling conversation, that the whole industry, the industry as a whole could be much better. So let's get on to the news about LeBron James. If you want to call in, the number to the show is 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. LeBron James is he's known as the other king for a reason. I call him the other king because I always like to allude myself as the king as well, but LeBron James if you just want me to say it by now is in the news. He you know, as you know, I guess a good majority of you know by now, LeBron James is contemplating retirement. He had played at age 38 against Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets and lost. It was said after the series, LeBron James was said to be in so much fatigue. He had, and for 20 years has risen to the upper echelon of great standouts. He was someone I first really, really admired. Really admired back in, I guess you want to say the heyday when LeBron James is just on top of the city of Cleveland. There was nothing but love for LeBron. He, I had him on, I'm looking at it right here. You know, I have a laptop, and back then I had just a pretty slow running Microsoft desktop, and I would display none other than LeBron James dusting off his powder in midair. If he retires today, I'll say for the record he has really had quite a career. Will he stand out as the GOAT, the all time greatest? Well, I don't want to get too much into that because let's just say, for the record, we're gonna have something on that soon. But here at Sports Kingdom, but LeBron James, he has defined what a great player should be. LeBron has cried in people's faces, like the recent referee that got caught for a burner account defending himself over his actions on the self actions on the court. LeBron has bid together with some notable talents such as Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and in some of the good days to me were when LeBron James played with Daniel Gibson, Hickson, Denver Zhao. We also had in Ogauskas. Remember Ogauskas? And he's definitely a throwback there, throwback center. And so many other early recollections when you think about his first ever high school game and exploding off the scene at St. Mary's. He electrified to the point that now he has a film coming out on Peacock very soon. But LeBron has been his own man. He's a he's a Hollywood star somewhat in his own right now, a bona fide businessman with Rich Paul, agent, and then has two dear sons to his heart, Bronny James and Bryce James. There's been a lot of question, will LeBron James, after these retirement rumors, come back and stick to his guns that he will play with Bronny James? And if you ask me, I think LeBron James should honestly retire. I think maybe if it was the finals, it'd be a lot different in a situation. But for the matter being that LeBron played his heart, soul, and dedication out on the court like he has always done, and go against, I believe, soon to be one of the all-time greats in the NBA, Nikola Jokic. So, you know, if you're asking me right now, I think the Nuggets, okay, we're going to touch back on the NBA Finals in just a little bit. We'll extend our conversation, like I said previously, to yesterday, that we'd talk more in depth about the NBA Finals between Nikola Jokic and the certain matchups on the court. But if you're to ask me, is Jokic possibly the best player right now, I would say, yeah. I really, despite Joel being winning MVP, I would say he is. I'll say this much. I'll say too, if Joel Embiid were healthy, if he never had this history of injuries like he has for so long, then I believe Joel, I might just have to say, considering the fact that he has been runner-up for many years, MVP, and hasn't gotten a whole lot of help in Philadelphia, except for his one time, of course, being happily and proudly drafted by none other than Sam Hinkie, which, if you see on my Twitter, I go on to rant that he is a Sam. He is a supporter of me being a Sam Hinkie guy. I wish was as a Philadelphia Sixers fan was still around in Philadelphia, but And maybe we'll get a full scoop on what happened between him and the NBA someday down the line. I just don't understand. I don't understand what has been the cause of the Sixers' success compared to the Nuggets' success. Cases is to be made about Joel Embiid, but he has, for the most part, coped with his injuries and tried to give without what could have happened with Sam Hinkie as a decoy, NBA decoy, and so, or NBA, no, I'll just say that. or no, I'd say, you know, just say NBA decoy. I failed to mention too that, you know, someone else who we can say in recent years has gone on to have a burner account as well was none other than Brian Colangelo. I mean, I was thinking this exact topic earlier, but you know, just how much more are we going to see these burner accounts come to fruition and or you know just leak out to the public and media and become very vital. So, if you were to ask, if you were to ask me again, Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic, I think just mentioned Brian Colangelo. We have about close to an hour left, so we'll get going a little more and more on this LeBron James topic. But to real quickly end here, though, on Nikola Jokic, to me, he could definitely, you know, consider how things have and might possibly shape out with the 76ers. Not only going to have a more successful career, but legitimately in line to wipe away all the talk that Victor Wembanyama is going to be the best player for years to come in the NBA. I think between Wembanyama and Jokic, I think it's going to be quite a it's going to be quite an obstacle for most particularly Wembanyama to overcome a player of Nikola Jokic's stature. First, obviously, he needs to just get adjusted in the NBA like all rookies. But after maybe a couple of years, I think it's going to be put up or shut up for Wembanyama. And I've said it before, I don't necessarily think that Wembanyama is really pure in a lot of what stands out in his game. I mean, you got a question, how is this guy gonna, for 7'4", be able to get through defenders and easily become an adroit safe ball handler? You know, I likely see there's always many turnovers for certain players that first step into the NBA, but with Wembanyama, um, I just think he is as hyped as he should be. You know, didn't we say a while ago, I mean, Draft Express, okay? Draft Express had compared Nerlens Noel. I think highly of Nerlens Noel. I think if he didn't get involved in the wrong setting, he maybe sticked around in safe environment with Brett Brown at the time. Brett Brown, I think, had his best interest in Nerlens Noel, unlike most coaches and peers. He could have very well had a nice career, but Bill Russell, like, I think, I'm pretty sure when I read the scouting report on Draft Express years ago on Nerlens Noel, he was said to be an extremely good all-time center. And so maybe you could make an argument he was an extremely good all-time center in AAU basketball. But, you know, in terms of the NBA, things just didn't work out for him. Another player I happened to see this morning on the Mark Zumoff's podcast, Fresh 24, Mark Zumoff, you can check that out on YouTube. Had Spencer Hall's on recently. And, in fact, tonight the Sixers documentary is going to air of Larry Brown and Allen Iverson, the 2001 Sixers. I recall those good days of when I first got into Sixers basketball and NBA as a whole. Saw the likes of Derek Coleman, Glenn Robinson, Allen Iverson, Kyle Korver, and then I just leave Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala to me is nothing but when you look back at Andre Iguodala's career, you're going to say he's definitely most worthy as retiring a Warrior remembrance. He really disgusted me those years. We had the Sixers had Spencer Hawes, Drew Holiday, Evan Turner, and then DeAndre Iguodala and Elton Brand, who's another. Elton Brand, Andre Iguodala, Evan Turner. You want to talk about three players that really hurt a nerve cell. I mean, most of all was when he left Philly, Andre Iguodala had a somewhat okay payoff leaving Philadelphia. He had spent some time on Team USA and had the player that retired other than LeBron James. Another player we really haven't talked about as much this offseason. Andre Iguodala retiring, and then Udonis Haslem after the NBA's Finals won with several others. But, I was starting to say Spencer Hawes was on Fresh 24, and I know it's not relevant to many or some here listening to the podcast, so, or Sports Kingdom. I don't really like using the word podcast, but but briefly put, Spencer Hall's dropped out, 28 years old, and there's a LeBron, 10 years older in the NBA, 38, and he has put on quite a legacy. Yeah, I think if you were to ask me what was the best highlight, best moment of LeBron James' career, I'd say, you know, it was really special when he won his first championship in Miami. I feel to this very day he should have stuck around Miami, because then the whole crisscrossing around between Miami, Cleveland, Los Angeles, that was all unnecessary. I mean, he eventually established a lot of relationships with players over the years, but or, you know, good or bad, but I mean, who knows? I'm starting to wonder if LeBron James is gonna take his talents to New York if he decides to leave Los Angeles. It's being reported that Los Angeles, regardless of what happens, retirement or not, will move on from LeBron James. And considering that LeBron James is still under contract, LeBron James is set to possibly join forces elsewhere, whether that's retirement or a team like the Knicks, who could receive the benefit of LeBron James. You know, Bob Myers, like I talked about yesterday, had stepped down from his position with the Golden State Warriors. I always thought it'd be interesting if maybe LeBron had suited up in a Warriors uniform. In fact, I was thinking, you know, how about something? I play with the NBA trade machine a lot. You may know that by now, of course, but, you know, during this time of year, but I recently come up with one trade scenario. What if the Sixers could finally get rid of Tobias Harris along with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, do something with the Sixers at this point, because they certainly need to find a way out of a hole that I don't like where they're going. I think maybe Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and Tobias Harris could go to the Golden State Warriors. Maybe just freshen that team up, establish, more of a youth culture there in Golden State, along with Klay Thompson, re-sign Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and unite them with Tyrese Maxey, who I think can be a top 10 point guard, or even possibly top 5 someday. You know, I think, you know, Tony Parker obviously got overlooked, just like Tyrese Maxey is getting overlooked to a degree. And at one point I considered Tony Parker to be one of the top point guards, if not top 10 at the very least. So I view Tyrese Maxey in that regard. You know, Tyrese is almost same height as Tony Parker. Plays with a energy to go on with some nice feel for the game and other players, and then you got Tobias Harris, who I guess we got a caller. Let's see who it is.
Good afternoon.
973.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
All right. Yeah, I just found the your number on Blog Talk.
How you doing?
Yeah. All right, but no stranger to this to Blog Talk at all.
No. Okay.
Tobias Harris. Well, and we also, of course, got game one of the finals tomorrow night. I don't think Miami's going to be in for such an easy task. I mean, really, I mean, the Nuggets have showed how they have proven all year why they're the best. I know that, you know, Miami's, you know, seems like very confident right now, you know, being only the second ACA team, you know, to get to the finals. But I think they're going to have a tough time against that Nuggets offense, though.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Jamal Murray has been very dominant, and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about the rest of the offense, though? I mean, I don't quite necessarily feel Michael Porter and some others have lived up to some of the potential Jokic and Murray have.
Well, no, I mean, of course, you know, the Joker, he's not, you know, giving heat for nothing, you know. So they got a tall order against, you know, especially with the Joker. Miami's got their work cut out for him. I'm just surprised that
yep.
they managed to, you know, win the last round. So I'm just surprised that, you know, they were able to beat Boston at home. Because when you lose at home like that, a game like that, that's embarrassing. You know, a game seven in your own backyard, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, talk about a choke.
Yeah. So I'm thinking.
Who do you think is going to win the NBA Finals?
Okay, I just want to give me a controversy, but Denver in six.
Denver in six. Are you a Nuggets fan?
I can't really say I'm a fan, but as the old thing goes, you choose the lesser of the two evils, and Denver is less of the two evils in this case.
Yeah, definitely. How do you feel about LeBron James scenario?
He's not retiring. Come on. Despite the contrary to what the rumors have been saying, look, his son is going to be out in a couple of years, and he wants to play at least 1 year with his son in the NBA. So all you're thinking, oh, well, this is it for him. No. Look, okay, he had a bad series. And, okay, I get your disappointment, upset, and everything, but, nah, he's LeBron. He always finds a way to bounce back. And he said he did want to play with his son, so I'm sure he's going to stick to it. So despite whatever moves you heard, he's not retiring.
Hmm. Yeah, it should be interesting. I think LeBron may possibly go elsewhere at this point, according to many reports as well. And chances are, how do you feel about the Knicks?
Well, if they fired their general manager, well, I don't think the good news is not. I wish they fired the owner instead. Oh, boy. But, you know, I do see them on the upswing here. I mean, nobody expected them to go to the second round of the playoffs last year, but when they won that streak of 9-10 in a row, I knew they were on to something. So maybe this is a step in the right direction. But at least, you know, at least try to fire Dolan if you can. Ugh, what a jerk. I don't like
it. I'm sorry. What team?
I'm a Knicks fan.
Knicks
I just hate Dolan. I just hate Dolan.
Yeah.
And so do a lot of other Knicks fans out there.
Hmm. Well, I mean, how do you feel about Jalen Brunson? Should he stick around?
Yeah, I keep – father was actually a Knicks time and was on that 99 finals team. Brunson's father was also a New York Knick at the time when they went to the finals last time in 1999. There's a thing. Now, for the record, I remember that. Yes, I am that old.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Patrick Ewing from Jamaica, number one overall pick back
yes.
in
85.
Around six, what's that?
85.
And so now you have Victor mm-hmm. Wembanyama, another international prospect coming in. How do you feel about him?
Well, he hasn't played a game yet. He's not used to our style of playing basketball. So I think it's a little bit, you know, too much, as they say, pre-hype. I mean, look, I mean, they say the same thing about you-know-who from Australia. Ben Simmons, and what has he done in the league so far? Hardly anything at all. Overhyped. Sometimes the overhyped kills it. I mean, in his first season, did he even play a game? No. And yet, what did Slam Magazine do? Oh, he was one of the top 50 players in the NBA before he even played a game. Really? I mean, aren't we being premature about this?
Premature.
Yeah, I didn't do a thing.
Yeah, so Wembanyama, like you said, very hyped. It should be interesting. What turns out to be in San Antonio? San Antonio currently rebuilding. Greg Popovich, of course, an excellent coach, but I don't know what's that gap window of time with Wembanyama, Popovich, and some of these younger talent that will be able to acclimate with Wembanyama.
Well, Papa doesn't have much time left. I mean, he is getting up there, so I would give him with the team, 2 years tops.
2 years top. Well, how do you feel? Yesterday we were talking about greatest dynasties. I mean, how would you rank some of the greatest dynasties of all time when you include the Warriors, the Spurs, the Lakers?
Well, I would have to say that the Celtics, of course, are number one. They have the dynasty of basketball. Yuck. Lakers had to be a close second, and the Bulls had to be third. I had to put the Warriors in fourth. Don't forget, they're just more of a recent dynasty going back to the last decade. But the Lakers and Celtics have been dominant for decades, so you had to put that. You had to put them at the top.
Yeah, we had Bob Ryan on here before, Celtics beat writer, and he talked in great detail about the Celtics and Bill Russell. I don't know if you were still alive at that time.
No, it wasn't even an idea yet.
I mean, when you compare Bill Russell and some of these other throwback centers that went on to have great careers with Wembanyama, how do you feel about all the comparisons?
It's really tough to compare because, every decade has a generation has their own set of players. My generation was, Magic and Bird, Jordan, and a few others. This generation is, the LeBron generation. Also, the late Kobe. Of course, now you got the Greek Freak. And back in the old days, it was, John Havlicek, Bill Russell, and a slew of others. So every decade has their own, set of stars. So it's tough to compare. You got to give them at least, 3 to 5 years before they see how they rank and, get to the playoffs and whatnot. Because if you're just there and your team is, of mediocrity, it's not going to stack up.
Yeah. So, if I had to rank some of the greatest dynasties, I'd say one, of course, the Chicago Bulls, number two. When I think top of my mind right now, I think about the Patriots, but I'm not going to necessarily put the Patriots up there.
I thought I didn't even sports in general. Yes, I had to put the Patriots in there. Unfortunately, yeek. For baseball, no question. Yankees, no question about it. For hockey,
are you a Yankee fan?
Born one and will die one.
How do you feel about the evolution of the Yankees over the years without George Steinbrenner now?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I'm not a Steinbrenner fan at all. good owner, but other than that, he was just way too cocky for me. And, of course, all those legendary fights with Billy Martin, well, that's what made that team, I think that's what made that team great, all the animosity toward between them. you know, because, you know, it got him motivated. Despite the fact that those two couldn't stand each other. That's why he was hired and fired 6 times.
Yeah. Talk about Billy Maher. I mean, he even wrestled in a wrestling ring.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was quite the showman. And then you talk about other stars, Reggie Jackson.
Can't forget Reggie.
Yeah. Reggie.
I remember when Billy Martin came out of the dugout and complained to the umpires about the pine tar incident and threw George Brett out.
Well, that's definitely something I'll keep in mind. But
40 years ago, man.
40 years. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Lou. I've been associated with Blog Talk and this number for like the last 7 or 8 years.
7 or 8 years.
I'm a veteran.
We could keep talking, or you can just say, you know, it's been a pleasure, and, you know, feel free to call again.
Are you on every Wednesday afternoon?
Weekdays.
Oh, it's a weekend show.
I'm just gonna make the announcement. At the end of the show, but we will be going live 12 to 3 from now on, starting next Thursday.
For every single weekday. All right. So your show once a week or is it daily?
It's daily.
Good. I actually have a show on another network, though, on Saturday afternoons, 4 to 6 our time. It's called the Enhanced Sports Show. I take almost everything in the world of sports. You know, you got your majors, you got your football, you got your basketball, hockey, baseball. We also sometimes cover horse racing during the major events and golf during the 5 majors. Yes, Memorial counts as a major. So, you know, I'll also be turning that this week on my show. It's a live call-in show like yours. The number is 512-543-4662 on Saturdays from 4 to 6. And you can get pretty wild. So you might enjoy it.
You know, in fact, do you know the chat room in Blog Talk Radio?
I haven't used it in a while.
Oh, all right, well, you know what? I don't know if you know any of our social media links, but if you ever get a chance or can, just send a link over to me of your show, and I'll definitely check it out.
I'm also available on YouTube. All you got to do is just go to YouTube and dial in the word The Enhanced Sports Show. Type that as exactly as I said it, otherwise nothing's going to happen. Go to YouTube, dial in The Enhanced Sports Show, and you'll see previous shows of mine up there. And you feel free to leave comments if you wish. But remember, you won't hear anybody else during the previous broadcast because I have the headphones on, and just so that nobody drops like a certain word that you can't say.
Kevin Dixon?
No, he runs the network, but that's not who I am.
Oh, so
My name was up on the screen. My name was up on the screen when you go in.
Let me put it in blue. Hang on.
Right.
I don't know what's going on. I'm on YouTube.
Been the Enhanced Sports Show?
The Enhanced, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll run you through it.
All right, hang on. Oh, Lou. Oh, I got you. Hang on.
There you go. Yeah. It takes off if you're used to it.
Hang on 1 second. By the way, if you want to call in, the number to the show is 563 999-3522. Again, it's 563-999-3522. Here with Lou. YouTube could be pretty frustrating at times.
Yes, it could. But all you gotta do is go to the YouTube. I have it up here, the Enhanced Sports Show. Scroll down and see some of the shows from the past weeks.
Hang on. Once I get a chance, I'm subscribe.
Good. I appreciate that. We need more. I can use more subscribers.
And just a reminder to some that are tuning in, if you want to catch Sports Kingdom, you can find us on SportsKingdomTV.com. Also, social media at SportsKingdomTV. Soon could be changing in terms of URL, social media handles, but that's where you can find us.
Right. And you are?
Julian.
Okay.
And so here we go. Talk show, Celtics, DMV sports show. Is that right?
Well, talk show was a long time ago, but Rasal is one of our, also one of our hosts on the network.
Okay. So you guys have 21 subscribers, right?
Right now, yes. If you subscribe, it'd be 22.
Huh. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, so did you type in YouTube and the Enhanced Sports Show?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just says Kevin Dixon, the Zone Sports Talk Radio Network.
That's his network, but, you know, my show is the Enhanced Sports Show, and my name should be on that list. It should be up on the screen.
Did I subscribe to the right channel?
Well, the Enhanced Sports Show is my show.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay, great. Now let me just check to see if it's there, or maybe it's not up just yet. We'll see.
So what do you mostly talk about?
Well, like I said, we talk all the major sports. Sometimes we cover minor ones too, like horse racing, tennis, golf, when the majors show up. We also have interesting features on the show, like the ridiculous sports moment of the week. We also have, like, calendar events. We have the feel-good story of the week. We also take, like, monthly standings and whatnot. And so we have a whole bunch of features since I've been doing the show now for the last 5 years. Okay, you're in.
Yep. Oh, right. What happened?
Well, it's updated. Now I have 22 subscribers, counting you.
Really cool.
Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. So I went to look at it, and it's there. So it's official.
All right, man. Well, really appreciate the time.
So I hope you get a chance to call in, and I'll be back either tomorrow or Friday, because Thursday is the day I post all the information for the show. Oh, boy.
Oh, wait a sec. You have a Blog Talk Radio page, right?
I was a long time ago.
Oh. All right. Well,
that's outdated.
You think Blog Talk's outdated?
For me, I haven't hosted a show on Blog Talk since 2017. So,
No. We're on YouTube as well.
I'm associated with it, but I don't host it.
Okay. Yeah, we're on YouTube as well. I mean, if you want to get some of our other content, you can find us on YouTube.
Under what?
Sports Kingdom TV.
Oh, Sports Kingdom TV. Yeah. All right. I'll check that out when available. All right, Julian. Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Peace out.
You too.
And so that was Lou. I really appreciate Lou for joining the show today. Yeah, I'm your host, Jordan Bryan the King. Make sure to keep the phone lines going. The number to the show is 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. Always like hearing from any guests, really appreciate anytime we get a caller or special guest, whether that may be Jared Werling, who was recently on talking about the Los Angeles Lakers great Kobe Bryant, spent one last time in Beijing with Jared before, of course, his tragic ending. And so we've had Jared on, and then, as mentioned, Bob Bryan. Other good guests, such as I was thinking maybe we can have certain people behind the scenes of Sports Kingdom, I know, come on the show. Been talking to a few people right now, but exciting things ahead. Mostly looking forward towards the future and what people we should have in store for you guys on the show. Again, maybe we'll have Lou come on the show and talk horse racing. Big horse racing fan. Every time this year of spring or summer rolls around and get to see the horses compete for a Triple Crown. Was watching the ESPN documentary on. And in fact, if you're wondering about the audio quality, I'm gonna fix that up probably tomorrow. My laptop has been acting up a bit. Couldn't get into Chrome, so looking to upgrade to the Chrome and figure all that for you guys. Want to make sure that is all set before we get going consistently. Like I mentioned, 12 to 3 weekdays daily starting next Thursday. And of course, I've been wrapping up some other things in my daily life. So we'll have that for you much more. Although, let's swing right back into LeBron and maybe some NBA Finals talk tomorrow. I'm expecting we'll talk about the Stanley Cup between the Florida Panthers and Dallas Stars. Jason Robertson up against Tkachuk. Robertson, I've had extreme high hopes for, but based off his play and performance this year, it sort of has me questioning if he can get the job done in the Stanley Cup final against Tkachuk. I think Tkachuk has arguably been a better player, more better player than Jason Robertson this year. In terms of goalies, Jake Onger, a well sought out talent by the Stars. I think he's say what you want about Pavelski. Jason Robertson. Um, I believe Niskanen. The Dallas Stars goalie, Jake Andre, has been the reason, has been the catalyst as to why the Stars are in the position they are now, just from my perspective. But it's interesting enough, Lou had mentioned in six for the NBA Finals. I think Stanley Cup could very well go in six as well, but I'm going to give my prediction tomorrow. First thing, let me drop on air and discuss Jason Robertson versus Tkachuk for the Stanley Cup final, the ultimate prize in all of hockey. So LeBron James, what a career he's had, 38. I'm just trying to think. The Knicks could be a possible destination. I mean, if it goes to the Knicks, then I think the Knicks have to mention the Knicks did, in fact, get rid of Scott Perry, GM Scott Perry, as of today. I think they've been certainly doing all the right things with Leon Rose, I'm telling you. You know, Perry and the whole rebuild structure since Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire. It's all gone according to plan in New York. I just think now, maybe if you're a drop a player, it has to be between Julius Randle or RJ Barrett, or else get some value in return for Mitchell Robinson as well. I think Mitchell Robinson is at a point in his career now that that has reached its ceiling. I think Mitchell Robinson's at a point now he needs to maybe go elsewhere. I just think now there's certainly other bigs such as Isaiah Hartenstein, then maybe Jericho Sims that can do some damage down low. I think they have more of a feeling to reach other than Mitchell Robinson. Robinson may be bigger by now, but I just think, you know, he's definitely like sure what you see with or what you get with Dwight Howard and several other centers in or at least in the past. Now, Mitchell Robinson, Dwight Howard, maybe several others, and I've gone to build a nice framework, but they truly never turn out to be seasoned as a vet like you see with Jokic or Joel Embiid now. And so, I really feel, especially in a city like New York, you really don't have much time, or I wouldn't say much time, but much of the capacity to reach or fall in terms of your ceiling. You just pretty much face the door in. And so I could really see RJ Barrett or Julius Randle leaving New York. RJ Barrett playing compared to Jimmy Butler this year was really a shame. I think some of the front office has to give that RJ Barrett did not even not perform really up to sums his standards in the league. And so, just fans worldwide or all around watching, but Knicks need to, I think, figure some out, especially in terms of the Lakers, Jalen Brunson. I think we, as we were talking about before, should stay probably maybe 2 or 3 more years, if that. You also got Josh Hart. I think Josh Hart is someone the Knicks should definitely consider keeping. He sort of reminds me of the time, and even though he's not a homegrown Knicks talent, he reminds me of some players that had somewhat of a good, minuscule, but good role in New York, when you consider Jamal Crawford, who later on was able to stretch out his game and performance being outside of New York. And then Trevor Ariza, I mean, when I have the most favorable comparison to Josh Hart, I mean, he still reminds me of Trevor Ariza in a way. I mean, I don't really think too fondly of the Knicks, but when I think of some Knicks that I have happened to be fond over, it's players such as Josh Hart, Trevor Ariza. Am I going to say Jamal Crawford? I think I am. And then I also add in Jamal Crawford, Trevor Ariza, and Steve Novak. That's right, Steve Novak. I was a huge Steve Novak fan, as well as J.R. Smith. I'm not too much of a fan, but a fan when he arrived in New York. I think that's when his career really took off, of course, in New York, J.R. Smith. So, yeah, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, it's going to be interesting. I mean, maybe there's not a slot for LeBron James in New York, but if I were to think, I don't know, maybe the Celtics. You know, I was thinking that Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum, I think most of you guys listening now know that Jason Tatum has gone on to become one of the earliest players since Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, and a couple others to score at least 12,500 points over, at least. And so very, very interesting concept there. Jason Tatum being amongst and possibly pairing up with LeBron James. I'm just thinking Boston, New York, some of these bigger markets, because I don't think LeBron's ever going to definitely someone like a individual like LeBron isn't going to go to a smaller market ever again. Maybe smaller market than Los Angeles, but not nowhere close to a small market like Charlotte. They certainly don't have much of the revenue going on for them when you include how poor they've been. And then the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, they recently, I think I said yesterday, hired Adrian Griffin. And it should be interesting what happens with the Bucks this offseason. We'll have plenty of coverage on the NBA free agency frenzy this offseason, set to happen after the finals in July. And so I'm going to be very excited to bring you along for that. So we got the Bucks, the Knicks. I didn't mention the Cavs. I mean, but LeBron James consider going back to the Cavs. I mean, you just never know in this league. But as I was saying before, LeBron James, I thought, picked all of the spots right in the playoffs. He had definitely reserved himself for the playoffs and gone on to find the right spots for teammates. And then, exposed for what's been good about such talent in LA, such as Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, who I was very impressed with this postseason. I mean, he definitely has one of the more better upsides in free agency compared to an Austin Reeves or other wings in the mid tier of NBA free agents. I think he's gonna, and he was pretty tied well in the NBA drafts years ago with the Washington Wizards. I mean, I think there's a good chance he'll land a nice contract somewhere and contribute tremendously well. I mean, the Washington Wizards, they've been a team that has fought tooth and nail with some of their original homegrown talent. Do they have some of the best drafted talent in the NBA? I wouldn't necessarily think so, but from time to time they do produce some good talent, and I just say if they want to possibly escalate that going forward, they'd possibly trade Beal, but that's a story for a different day. Boy, I'm hungry. 2:57, have 30 minutes left. If you want to call in, number to the show is 563-999-3522. Again, 563-999-3522. Help me figure out where LeBron James is going to go. I think I may very well come to the conclusion very soon and then wrap up with some NBA Finals talk. Although, I think I've said the Warriors, I've said the Lakers, I've said the Celtics, the Knicks, the Wizards, definitely out of consideration. You got the Charlotte Hornets, the Milwaukee Bucks. I was just thinking the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, if Damian Lillard was a little younger, just a little younger, and still very well into some of his best prime years, I think Damian Lillard, LeBron James, they could definitely work some out, but again, that's another smaller market. Do you think LeBron would consider joining the Dallas Mavericks with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. I mean, that'd be that actually wouldn't surprise me. If you're gonna ask me if LeBron James would join up with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic in Dallas, that wouldn't surprise me. Right as of right now. I think it's very well possible. And so I think I'll just leave it on that note. LeBron James to the Mavericks, possibly. I think if the Nuggets, Michael Porter, because, you know, I was talking earlier with the caller we thankfully had on the show, talk about how less of a role Michael Porter has had amongst others on the Nuggets roster, with Jokic scoring numerous points and then Jamal Murray going absolutely off. I think we were going to talk matchups, so let's get into some of the matchups and talk about some of the starting lineups first of all. Jamal Murray versus I mean, who knows what the Heat are thinking of. I mean, interestingly enough, they always can deceive you of what tricks they have up their sleeve. And so I think the Heat will go with Gabe Vincent, maybe Kyle Lowry, who knows, but someone who's just more well able to possibly pick on Jamal Murray. Not necessarily thinking he's going to be as the best perimeter defender as you see in some this series. But definitely the advantage goes to Jamal Murray over Gabe Vincent in this type of scenario matchup. Jamal Murray, I think the caller said it, but Nuggets and six, I mean, it's not hard to believe that, really. Even though when you look at Jamal Murray versus Jimmy Butler, I mean, Jamal Murray, all season long hasn't had to lead a team like Jimmy Butler in the regular season and passed. Jimmy Butler has, like I said before, best version this postseason. And heck, can we go without mentioning the time he scored over 50 points in the postseason? A tremendous record right there. Both show a knack to handle the ball and score off the dribble, but now, are they as talented, would you say, as Jokic in terms of outside scoring? I mean, Jokic's series, or previous series this postseason, has shown off his capability of scoring many times from three-point range. Unreal. it's been sort of, he's been compared, his shot sort of to a Larry Bird, how he's not been trash talking necessarily, but he's been overriding the success of his 3-point shot. I think Nikola Jokic has definitely the best shot from three over Jimmy Butler and Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray has been wonderful when you consider his time in some of the early quarters in games, but when it comes down to that second half, I mean, Jimmy Butler is just on fire, and I think he can, of course, and will be an X factor for the Heat sometime this NBA Finals series. The thing about the Nuggets is they have some tremendous athletic talent when you include Caldwell Pope and Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon, Caldwell Pope, of course, is doing the dirty work. Gordon being able to stick on LeBron James pretty well several games last series against the Lakers, and go on to show that he can certainly target drawing the foul, and at times working on his free throw, I think he can he could definitely be relied upon, and that was shown in his early time with the Orlando Magic. I mean, I think he obviously had a much better I mean, who knows? It's really a debate. I mean, we got to see more of Aaron Gordon, I believe, in Orlando, but with Denver, I mean, he's doing all the dirty work. But at the same time, though, he's winning, and he's on to the NBA Finals with none other than Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. And so, now early on, he showed off a display of tremendous athleticism, went up against Zach LaVine, of course, and the slam dunk contest, even a second time. Stephon Curry. Aaron Gordon. I knew a lot about him going into NBA as an Arizona signee. Went on to play for the Arizona Wildcats in college, and if I recall correctly, at the time he had been one of Stanley Johnson's predecessors, along with maybe if you add in T.J. McConnell now. Some Arizona Wildcats that have sticked out and played in the NBA, like them, and trying to think of the other one, Caleb Tarzewski, and many good players. Many good players, and now, of course, I mentioned yesterday, Caleb Love now going to the Arizona Wildcats. I think he should be an interesting player for Arizona next year. No, we really haven't talked a whole lot of college on Sports Kingdom, but I'm going to make sure that we touch on a little bit of college, or some some more college, between a little bit and some more college, we'll talk like Notre Dame and Duke this past weekend. Memorial Day, got to catch the Kavanaugh brothers win their, I believe, first time together over a program like Duke. I mean, Duke had some tremendous depth, like always. They've been, Duke lacrosse has been to, and you know, quite a bit of controversy with Duke, but, you know, they've succeeded many times and gone on to win multiple national lacrosse championships. And so with the depth and powerhouse they had, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish came out victorious. They, as one of the ESPN analysts were alluding to, said that this was eventually going to be a matchup where Notre Dame could be favored as well, it being possibly and arguably their best team in program history. And so, of course, the tremendous camaraderie showed out when the Kavanaughs and the whole rest of the team went on to win. It was a nice day in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Very, very, very demanding sport we had on Lax Warm a long time ago. Knows a lot in depth about lacrosse, but whether it's the MLL, which I'm not sure is as popular now as the NLL, but you know, it's always nice to see college lacrosse first and foremost play on Memorial Day and see some good shots. I mean, Duke had an advantage for a bit, but well, I'd say for a good majority of the game, you know, it was neck and neck, but when it came down to maybe the third period, you started to see Duke falter a little bit. And so when they seemed to falter, you saw the Duke Blue Devils gain a deficit to Notre Dame and lose. And who knows what's next for the Kavanaugh brothers. I think they're sure, well, popular, maybe not as popular as the Cavender twins, who are going on to the WWE after successful college careers. Should be interesting to see what happens with them. I can already tell they sort of got the charisma to back up all things inside the ring. But the Kavanaugh twins, yeah, maybe I'll have more on that later. Be interesting to see and talk about men's lacrosse. But now, speaking of the women's, you've had softball, they're set to be a winner for a College Baseball World Series and then MLB draft. Yeah, definitely got to read more into my stuff, you know. But much I can tell you now is that in summary of the show today, LeBron James is likely to retire or as I said before, go to the Dallas Mavericks. But in closing, I think we may have to see some, if we're talking starting lineups, maybe some, I mean, Michael Porter Jr., he's been on point this season, you know, should I always seem to think that Michael Porter Jr. was going to be and is currently going to be the player we all thought he'd possibly be. Maybe if you think years ahead of the time he was drafted, period. Unforeseen. But I think Michael Porter Jr., I think the Nuggets can't just depend on playing with Murray and Jokic forever. I think based on some of the teams in the league today, he could win with Jokic, but he could win as many more with talent that takes you a long way, that can potentially take you a long way. And in the case of Michael Porter Jr., I see him likely out of Denver if ball doesn't go Denver's way. This postseason. I want to get on to some quick news on the topic of wings, since we happen to be on the topic of basketball wings in particular, and I had a feeling this would possibly be in the works, but it's been said that Jaylen Brown might be headed to the Atlanta Hawks, where he grew up. I think it's Marietta, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. But I think the biggest shine on all this, the biggest polish on all this is I felt Jalen Johnson came off a tremendous outing in the postseason this year, him being from Duke, former first-round pick, and not so far in reach of possibly proving he could stick around as a solid, if not solid, very solid wing for the Hawks, players of the Hawks such as Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. I mean, I think some changes are coming for the Hawks, of course, but I don't know. I think with the Hawks, you could very well swing the team into a more versatile scoring team with Trae Young. And Trae Young was spy and reportedly been talked amongst some in LA about joining the Lakers. I think the Lakers, they have work cut out for them. I think this has been the longest stretch in history until now. We haven't seen a player like LeBron possibly retire and go on to change the whole entire foundation of or perception of the Lakers. It's been years since I think players have possibly perceived, have gone on to possibly think that the Lakers could be yet another free agent destination interesting appeal. So it's going to be interesting what goes down. With a team like the Hawks, you know, I think they still have Bogdanovich. I mean, I think the biggest mistake was when they got rid of Kevin Warner. You talk about the Kings right now. They have De'Aaron Fox. You know, certainly not many changes, I believe, come in towards the Kings' way anytime soon. But you have De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox. Kevin Warder, Harrison Barnes, Domantas Sabonis, and then Keegan Murray. I mean, for a team like that, I mean, who knows? I think playing up against some really good competition this postseason, having one of their better years in franchise history, they can go on to do some great things, whether it's the off season or regular season. Into a regular season, I'd say maybe. I mean, if you ask me, who should the Kings go with? I'd actually go much more with LeBron James over Jaylen Brown to the Kings. I mean, wouldn't that be something? If LeBron James, the King, the other King, as I call him, were to join the Sacramento Kings. I was always a fan of the Kings team artwork. Whether that's Sacramento or anything you see posted on social media, I dig the name. I'm glad they stuck around in Sacramento. I remember those times Seattle was in potential talks of bringing back Sonics. And Kevin Johnson, as we know, quite the politician, to say the very least, somehow had a hand somehow become a nuisance, but yeah, I wouldn't really invest so much money into if I were the Kings and Jaylen Brown, bringing on LeBron James for possibly a year or two could solve dividends, but looks like we have no more callers, little time left. I'm going to end it here. I want to thank you guys so much for listening, tuning in to Sports Kingdom. I've been your host, Julian Breyer the King. And with that, thank you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, same time tomorrow. Knuckleheads, 12:30.